This is Brian Cambria with news for the Western Slope, Tuesday, July 16th, 2013. Ouray County officials recently unveiled a plan to bring in nearly $500,000 in new revenue. The Telluride Watch reports the plan presented to Ouray County commissioners aims to bring in the money through a 1% increase in the county sales tax. Ouray County has suffered a large revenue loss in recent years due to the national recession and dropping property values. According to the watch, the Ouray County clerk, treasurer, and sheriff agreed the county needs to either bring in new revenue or cut services. The plan includes ways to trim those services if the sales tax increase fails. Those options include instituting a 4-day work week for county employees and closing the courthouse on Fridays. The tax increase will be before voters in November. If it passes, those new funds would be directed to a public health and safety fund, which would cover a variety of county expenses, ranging from emergency management to animal control operations. The watch reports that the county's revenue trouble isn't only due to the recession. Its mill levies and sales taxes are the lowest of counties in the region. Many property owners in Delta County were surprised to see their assessed values plummet this year, some by as much as 20%. The county's valuation came in $23 million less than last year, for a total just shy of $300 million. The county relies on a portion of these property taxes for just 2% of its operating budget, but that still amounts to a significant amount of money. KVNF's Marty Derlin reports.
Assessor Debbie Griffith has been in office since 1989, and she has never seen a drop in valuation like this year's. Griffith told commissioners Monday that property values, which declined an average of 9%, have fallen victim to the foreclosure rate.
The data that we collected on residential properties, 31% of them were REOs, or foreclosures that were being resold by the bank, and that was enough to bring values down. A lot of those were sold for 40 and 50 cents on the dollar.
The most recent figures were calculated in June 2012, based on the preceding 18 months. In an unusual turn of events, Griffith said some homeowners thought their properties should be valued higher, despite the fact that they'll pay higher taxes. That group made up part of the 248 appeals this year.
We had a significant number of taxpayers who were in to visit who felt that their value was too low and wanted an increase, and some of those properties actually did increase once we had done a field visit and got proper current data for their account.
Griffith said 109 appeals were denied, 128 were adjusted, and 11 people were satisfied after they had the valuation explained. This is out of 24,000 accounts taxed in Delta County, including not only real estate, but manufactured homes, oil and gas production, businesses that operate in more than one state, and commercial personal property. About half the accounts are residential property, and about 2,500 are agricultural. Agriculture has a special place in Colorado, and ag equipment is not taxed. Griffith said the county could also be affected by a proposal from the oil and gas industry and some counties to tax personal property as a percent of production rather than based on its face value.
In Delta County right now, we have 21 wells. We're getting production off of one. And they're brand new wells. Most of them have not even been in production for a year. They drill them, they cap them off, and they let them sit there because natural gas isn't expensive enough right now. And so they don't want to sell. So they have all this beautiful brand new equipment sitting up there worth thousands and thousands of dollars, but they only want to pay personal property on a percentage of production, and they're not producing. I think our production was $21,000 last year.
There are signs of stabilization in the real estate market, says Griffith, but it may take a while for those positive changes to be felt.
It always takes longer for the economy to decrease in Delta County when there's a big hit in Colorado, but it also always takes longer for us to get back to where everybody else is.
For KVNF News, I'm Marty Derlin.
According to the Durango Herald, The arrival of the monsoon season has led to a reduction in fire restrictions in some areas of the San Juan National Forest. Fire restrictions above 8,500 feet have been eliminated, while restrictions have been eased from Stage 2 to Stage 1 at lower elevations. Those reductions take effect tomorrow. The Durango Interagency Fire Dispatch Center said in a statement that enough moisture is now in those higher elevations to, quote, significantly reduce fire danger. All the same, the agency reported about a half dozen small wildfires Sunday and Sunday night. La Plata County officials have said they'll continue to watch how much rain the area receives and decide later on whether to reduce fire restrictions in a few unincorporated areas. As cloudy skies and afternoon rains become a common sight here on the Western Slope, KVNF's Travis Bubenik explores the science behind monsoon forecasting.
Today, partly sunny in the morning, then becoming mostly cloudy. Scattered showers and thunderstorms.
If you've followed the weather for even the past few days, daily weather predictions have been pretty well predictable. Sunny in the morning, cloudy in the afternoon, a chance of rain as the day wears on and the sun starts to drop. The monsoon season has arrived in Colorado, the annual time when hot, high pressure in the atmosphere moves east across the Continental Divide, and cool, moist air comes trailing in behind it. It's a reliable weather pattern, but exactly how reliable?
This is the operations area. It's changed quite a bit over the years. Myself, I'm the lead forecaster today. Ellen is...
Norvin Larson is a forecaster for the National Weather Service at its Grand Junction office.
The monsoon is very... what's the word I'm looking for?
He says the southwestern monsoon doesn't really follow a strict timeline, so predicting its behavior isn't exactly easy.
It's hard to look at the monsoon as being anything official. It really isn't. It's more of a regime. It's hard to nail down. If you're thinking the Indian Ocean monsoon, it's not as predictable and persistent. The bursts and breaks can be any amount of time, really. There are no rules for it.
The bursts and breaks he refers to are the monsoon's weekly cycles, the few days or couple weeks of daily rains, followed by brief dry spells. Larson points to a desktop screen swirling with colors and numbers.
You got the high pressure over the panhandle. This is classic for us. We set up this high pressure over the panhandle region of the southern states, Oklahoma and Texas. And
each year around early July, winds in the southwestern United States pull moisture from the Pacific Ocean or the Gulf of Mexico up through the plains and into western Colorado. But Larson says even that basic pattern can vary from year to year.
During our first monsoonal burst, the high pressure was actually to the west of us, which is very atypical, but it took the long way around.
It is easy to say that there will be a monsoon. It is hard to say exactly when and where.
Nolan Duskin is the state climatologist based at CSU in Fort Collins. Like Larson, he says predicting monsoon behavior is a tricky business.
Often the best forecast is simply... what is the expectation from climatology? In other words, what have past years shown us? And it is easy to predict 2 to 5 days in advance, difficult to predict 2 to 5 weeks in advance.
So if it's that hard to predict monsoon rains week to week, you can imagine the challenge climatologists face in studying how larger scale monsoon cycles are affected by global climate change. And then when scientists do study those changes, the results can seem almost ironic.
It's been thought, theorized, and slightly proven that widespread drought conditions over the western U.S. may actually accentuate the monsoon, helps the southwest.
Duskin says that hotter, drier conditions may actually help draw moisture into western Colorado. Hotter temperatures trigger the wind patterns that bring on monsoon rains. So during times of drought, we may actually see more rain during the monsoon season. Thankfully, that can help balance out the drought's harsh effects on agriculture.
Even after a year with poor snowpack, below average stream flow, below average reservoir and stream water supplies, you can still come in with a good damp monsoon season. And without making up those deficits, you can still have a comfortable summer without the extreme drought impacts.
Despite the wide variety in each year's monsoon season, one thing does remain pretty stable: the threat of mudslides or floods. That's especially true in summers like this year's, with heavy wildfire activity and steep terrain.
Going from Telluride out to Placerville and on through Norwood, Highway 145, and especially in this area.
Larson points out spots on a map that he says are prone to flooding, even without wildfires. But when massive fires like the West Fork Complex do burn through rugged mountainous terrain, mudslides and floods become a constant threat, even for years after the fire has been put out. Case in point for Larson was the Missionary Ridge fire of 2002.
Typically, an inch an hour can create problems in steep terrain. They found that, you know, less than half an inch an hour over those burned soils, because there was no vegetation to hold that water back. And not only that, the soil was charred so hard, it basically created almost like an asphalt covering. So, I mean, the rainfall just ran right off of it. We monitor those areas very closely, realizing that the rainfall is going to be profoundly different in those areas. It's really very surprising.
While the nature of monsoons can and usually does change from one year to the next, Duskin says there isn't much evidence yet that monsoon cycles are changing on a larger scale.
The monsoon has always been a bit erratic. It still is. And the main thing that we've been able to see is a tendency towards warmer temperatures and higher summer evaporation rates. But in terms of the precipitation from the monsoon, we have not seen what I would call a systematic trend, just a lot of year-to-year variations.
For I See Change in thealmanac.org, I'm Travis Bubinick.
I See Change is a crowdsourced reporting project with KVNF that draws on community observations about seasonal shifts in the weather. Have you seen changes this week? Share your observations at thealmanac.org. You can post your questions, you can answer questions, you can just make observations, you can also just see what other people are saying. Be a part of it. Be a part of two-way radio at thealmanac.org and at kvnf.org. This concludes the newscast for today. For KVNF News, this is Brian Cambria.